Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Presented by Siltahara Motors, the home of the zero down with Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Regardless of your financial standing, no one should be without a vehicle. Visit the special financing section at sthmotors.com.
All right, good morning. Welcome to it. It's a Tuesday. And boy, the hits just keep coming, huh? Man, yesterday, wham, Cortland Sutton, done for the year. Wham, Drew Lock, going to be out a few weeks at least. Wham, Vic Fangio and the Broncos get fined a lot of money for not wearing a mask during the game.
Whew. Here's what I don't understand about the masks in the game.
2020 sucks.
But here's what I don't understand. So the players aren't wearing masks while they're playing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's being tested the same.
Right.
So what the hell's the difference?
I don't know.
Just that they said to coaches, make sure you wear a mask because we want to make sure that we show America that that we're masked up and, you know, ready to roll. I mean, is that what it... Because there's no real... If everybody's testing the same... There's no real reason for the coaches to be in masks. Everybody has passed. Everybody has taken a test every single day. They show up. The players don't have the masks on. They're not playing with masks on. They're hitting each other. They're spitting on each other.
NBA coaches, NHL coaches, they're normal.
Yeah, they're in bubbles.
They're in bubbles.
But you know what I'm saying. I mean,
baseball's had a lot of their... Managers have been wearing, and coaches have been wearing masks throughout.
Right, but they're not on the headsets calling plays and doing all that. I find it interesting. I mean, I feel like the whole mask thing to the coaches is more about, less about safety protocol and more about the way you look on the sideline. Like, hey, look, America, we care. And they do, they've done a good job. Don't get me wrong. It just seems excessive. And I know they sent a letter out, so now it's punitive, but.
Yeah, you have
100 grand
each.
100 grand is the 100 grand. I mean.
So the coaches, and there were three of them, Vic Fangio, Pete Carroll, Kyle Shanahan. There'll be more because Gruden wasn't wearing his. Sean Payton definitely wasn't wearing one yesterday.
Yeah.
So they'll all be fined 100 grand, and the teams each get fined 250,000. That's more than you guys got dinged for cheating against the cap back in the day.
Not you guys. Don't put you guys on it. The players didn't have anything to do with that.
I'm speaking of the collective you.
Them.
The Broncos.
Yeah. No, I mean. Oh, by the way. Text line right now. Full of rain. A lot of people have moved out from underneath the rocks.
Raiders. Yep, here they come.
Guys, I told you this. I told you this offseason Raiders were going to be good. Did I not?
You did. You said they were probably the second best team in the division.
Yes.
Win, 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 win. 16-0, man.
Oh, they're 2-0. And they did look good. Oh, God.
I tell you what, it's amazing.
Control the bile, control the bile, control the bile, control the bile.
It's amazing what happens when you dominate a line of scrimmage. You know, not that I'm not complaining.
You know what? That's too bad.
Yeah, it is too bad. It's too bad for your quarterback.
Tackled by Bulls. Well, the injury news, boy, they have been getting hammered with injuries, although their injuries all
tough.
You know, San Francisco got crushed the other day with injuries. There's all kinds of injuries going on around the league. But do you find any silver? Can you find any silver linings in what's going on right now with the Broncos and all these injuries?
Any silver
any
linings?
Any silver linings?
I mean, I haven't thought about it that way.
Well, here's one for you.
Okay.
Here's one. You speed up to find out what you have in Hamler and Judy with Sutton out.
Okay.
And maybe this is a silver lining because somebody's not going to be... The odds of Noah Fant, Courtland Sutton, KJ Hamler, and Jerry Jeudy all seeing a second contract with the Broncos are remote.
Slim to none. Well, considering second contracts aren't something we like to give out around here.
I know, but okay. just the idea that there's no way you can, well, you could, but you shouldn't be, you know, devoting all of those second contracts to pass catchers.
Right.
Right? So this at least speeds up the process to find out what you have in Jeudy and Hamler. How's that?
Okay, well that is at least it thinks that's funny. That is a silver lining. I'll give you that. I'll give you that silver lining.
I'll give you another one.
Okay. Now we're getting positive. This is good.
With Sutton out.
Yes.
And Jeudy and Hamler still young and still learning. You know what that forces the Broncos to do in their passing game?
Oh, throw it more than use Noah Fant for more than a half.
I'm watching Darren Waller last night and I'm like, he's doing a lot of damage. Boy, the coverage is really dictating that they throw to Darren Waller. Boy, don't you think Sean Payton and the Saints might figure out to change their coverage so that it doesn't dictate that they throw to... Do you hear the sarcasm in my voice?
It's dripping, yes.
The Raiders look at Darren Waller and realize they got a weapon, and they scheme, and they find ways to get him open. We are running a play for you. We are running this to get you open.
Right.
Even if you aren't open, we're looking for you because you are that much of a weapon.
I mean, look at...
And you can't do that with Noah Fant?
Look at the receptions. Now, Derek Carr had 282 yards, and Waller had 12 receptions. Everybody else, 2, 3, 1, 1, 1, 3, 1, 1, 2, 1, 1. I mean, that is saying, Darren Waller, take us to the promised land. He only averaged 8.6 yards per reception, but 12 receptions in that game, and he is... I've told you this before. When I covered him last year, I did two Raider games. When I covered him last year, man, he's like 6'7". He can run. He's one of the fastest guys in football and at the tight end position and a willing participant blocking and everything else. So here's what sets him apart from some of the tight ends that we cover. You can't get a beat on him. He's good in the running game. So, you know, from a dictating coverage standpoint, it's really hard because you're like, oh, you guys are gonna just try to cover us. You're gonna put a safety back and, you know, have a lineman. All right, we'll just run the heck out of the ball right there. We'll run it down your throat on that side. I mean, they've got, again, they've addressed this team, in my belief, the correct way. And I hate to be pumping the Raiders' tires, but they've built this team from the inside out. They said we're going to have dominant offensive linemen. You know, Trent Brown hasn't played the first two games. All-pro right tackle. Hasn't played them. They've actually played two different guys at right tackle. They've rotated. They didn't give up a sniff. They did not give up a quarterback hit or a sack in week one. They gave up a couple sacks yesterday. But you're talking about New Orleans Saints, who have one of the premier defenses in football. And the Raiders just hung, what, 34 on them?
Coming up, does Drew Lock shoulder some of the blame for what happened to him the other day? That's next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. People care about three things when buying a vehicle. Number one, price. Silta Har Motors has the best prices and financing options that fit everyone's current credit and financial situation. Get zero down and 0% financing for 72 months. Number two, selection. Silta Har's five dealers in one offering Ford, Lincoln, Mazda, Volvo, and Maserati with hundreds of new and used cars, trucks, and SUVs on the lot. And number three, location. Silta Har's right off Highway 36 in Wadsworth, or view their entire selection online at sthmotors.com. Silta Har Motors. Get everything you want out of a dealership.
Got the morning brew coming up at 6:30. Nuggets, Lakers, game 3 preview. Oh, yeah, the Raiders. Here's one from Josh. Guys, I'm sick to my stomach to see the Raiders rebuild so quickly. I know the Broncos have a young offense with a load of injuries and no camp time, but the defense is patchwork and a massive bomb that will implode without two great defensive drafts. Elway needs to go.
Well, I told you a few years ago when John Gruden took over and I sat down in his office with him going over kind of what they're doing. And I talked to Paul Gunther, the defensive coordinator as well. And man, there was just no bones about it. Hey, we're in a rebuilding mode. We're going to go to Vegas in 2 years. He goes, basically, we have to strip this down, this roster down to the studs and rebuild it. And Mike Mayock, his dad was an O-line coach, and he just said, man, I'm building from the inside out because that's what I believe about football. We're going to have a great offensive line. We're going to invest in the front seven, and that's where we're going to start. And, you know, right now, two games, they have dominated the line of scrimmage against, you know, I mean, the Saints are a really good football team. Defensively, they're a really good football team. They have dominated a line of scrimmage in two games. They imposed their will. And by the way, guess what? They have an identity. They're going to impose their will on you. You mean they're going to get, Josh Jacobs is going to get his 25. He's going to get his 25 carries. They're going to beat you down. And I will tell you this, Mike, you look at them right now, they've averaged probably 3.5 yards a carry on Josh Jacobs the last two games. He hasn't had 100 yards. He had like 88 last night, and last week he had like 93 or something. But you know what? They never got away from it. I guarantee you one thing they're getting on third down and two and fourth down and two. Josh Jacobs is going to touch the ball, unlike Melvin Gordon, because we're going to trick you. We'll trick you with a shovel pass. Ha ha! You'll never see it coming. You know? We're going to trick you. They're not trying to trick you. Listen, if you're a team that has to trick somebody, you know what you're not? You're not good.
Derek Carr, 28 of 38 for 282 yards, 74% completion percentage, 3 touchdowns, quarterback rating of 121, with a lot of time to throw. So, all right. We're looking for your leftovers, Broncos Steelers leftovers, some stuff that you noticed from the game that maybe didn't get talked about as much yesterday in the immediate aftermath of the game. Hit us up on the RamosLaw.com text line, 303-713-1043. You, with your Exos Thundercloud.
Yes.
Gave a little tutorial to all of us here, myself, Scotty, Ben, about that whole play in which Drew Lock got hurt. And got a great view from, you know, behind the line of scrimmage to see what really happened. Vic Fangio suggesting that Drew Lock had a role in what ended up happening to him.
Well, he could have stepped up and stayed with the play a little bit longer. And then once you start scrambling and anytime you hit the ground, you're always in danger of, you know, getting hurt, you know, particularly a quarterback where the shoulders or anything to your throwing arm can happen.
We looked at it. Does he have a point?
No. He could have stepped up and he got hit in the teeth with the tackle end game that they didn't pick up on the left side. By the way, which was horrid. Like, you want to talk about just complete and utter lack of understanding on how to pick up a tackle end game and not, like, just not, well, again.
All right, so in
that's the left side.
Let me explain in layman's terms as we saw it, okay? The primary culprit in getting Drew Lock hurt was Elijah Wilkinson.
Correct. Right?
He was just a turnstile that immediately put Lock on the defensive.
Right, there are turnstiles in the subway system in New York that get less turns than that guy.
Meanwhile, on the other side, Dalton Risner and Garrett Bowles screwed the pooch when it came to their assignment,
right?
Which I'm sure Locke saw out of the corner of his eye, which further led to him rushing out to his right side. And you're right, had he stepped up into the pocket, he would have got drilled. Probably wouldn't have got hurt as badly as he ended up doing,
right,
by leaving the pocket,
yes.
But he was going to get drilled.
Yeah, he just lost some teeth.
Right.
Hey, I mean, the bottom line, Mike, here's what irritates me with that Vic Fangio statement. Okay? Don't put it on
He's letting the old line off the hook.
Yeah, everybody and their brother's uncle. If you watch the film as a team, you know, 1001, you got a role. And KJ Hamler, by the way, beat his guy on an under route. So they were running, like, they were running a concept called, follow. So it's the two outside guys. They're in a 3-by-1. So they're in a trips right formation. The tight end goes through, and instead of going through, he goes through corner. So he's running a corner and they're running two under routes underneath it. KJ Hamler steps, you know, stabs the guy outside, bam, breaks inside. Is why, I mean, he probably scores. Even if Elijah Wilkinson just blocks his guy. Now, here's the thing about Elijah Wilkinson. He got beaten about 1.2 seconds. So Drew Lock didn't have a lot.
Oh, I think it was faster than that.
Yeah. Well, it was right now. It was, you know, it doesn't matter how fast your receivers are. If your O-line gets beat faster than your receiver can get open, guess what? I don't care how fast. The guy can run a 4-0 40. It doesn't matter. So he's going to be wide open. He probably scores on that play if you can just block somebody. See, this is where blocking matters. I know people got duped. You got duped into believing that, you know, that we had a great draft and we drafted speed and speed's going to win and we're going to be Kansas City because we got speed. But if you can't block people, it doesn't matter how much speed you have. You're not going to be able to complete footballs and your quarterback is going to get hurt. So he gets beaten about 1.2 seconds. Here's the other part. He's got slide to him, meaning he's got a double team coming his way. So if he just sets to the outside of TJ Watt and forces him back inside, it's blocked. He's got somebody to help him. But he gets beat on the outside hand like a drum in 1.2 seconds. Like, not only did you not use any technique, but you didn't understand where your help was. You didn't even give yourself a chance to block that thing. And so to sit there and put the blame or the onus on Drew Lock, It's like you make excuses because you guys didn't, and you don't want to get the heat or the criticism. I'll give you the heat and the criticism. You guys blow. Like that is football 101. Say what it is. We're not good enough out there.
Yeah, that, after having the benefit of looking at it the way you showed it to us, boy, that's harsh putting that on your young quarterback. If you are a quarterback that has been in this league for 10 or more years, and you're really pocket savvy, and you're a Manning, a Brady, a Breeze. You know, you're talking about really veteran quarterbacks. Yeah, maybe they have the presence of mind to do a quick slide up in the pocket. But 90% of your quarterbacks, especially quarterbacks that only have a handful of starts under their belt, their first inclination is to take off the way that Locke took off.
Hey.
And so to put it on him and say, well, in that instance, your entire, both ends of your offensive line fail.
Right.
And now it's on my quarterback with a handful of starts to literally within a second, be able to process all that and calmly slide and step up into the pocket. No way. No way. I agree with you. That was an unfair critique by Vic.
It's terrible. I have had many criticisms and they come from an honest perspective and they come from I want this team to be better perspective. And I've had fairly, the way that Vic has handled some things, I've been critical because I just don't believe that's the way you do it. I don't believe you just hang him out to, hey, give the responsibility to the people who deserve the responsibility. Why are you trying to sugarcoat that? Because you don't want the organization to take heat for basically drafting nothing but speed and not addressing an offensive line that you knew you didn't pick up your fifth year tackle on your left tackle and you're the guy that you spend a lot of money on decided he doesn't like football anyhow and you got to go with a backup at right tackle. You want to take the heat off. Hey, nothing to see here. I'm the Wizard of Oz. Nothing to see here. Pay no attention, man, behind the curtain. We're fine up here. No, you're not. You're not fine. You're 19 hits, 7 sacks. I don't need to say anything else.
Morning Brew, coming up next, how do you think the Nuggets respond after that heartbreaking Game 2 loss? That's next.
Good morning!
Morning!
It's time for your morning brew.
Things are gonna get weird.
You're gonna keep hiking, and you're gonna crap thunder!
Okay, this guy needs coffee and cooler stat.
You know what can really help you sort through these important issues?
What?
Orange mocha frappuccino!
Damn, Jimmy. This is some serious gourmet s***.
Let's get it on. Broncos, down to this.
Oh, ladies! I got
Frisco, under pressure and going down. From the far side of the field, Terrell Edmonds got to him. And the ball will go over to the Steelers.
CBS TV there, rough day for the Broncos yesterday as they find out that Courtland Sutton, done for the year, tore up his knee. Drew Lock, it was actually a decent prognosis as it is a shoulder, deep shoulder bruise, contusion that could keep him out a few weeks, but does not look like it's going to be anything that's going to be certainly season ending. And Vic Fangio, one of three NFL coaches to be fined $100,000 for not wearing masks on Sunday. And the Broncos were fined $250,000 for the same violation. All in all, NFL teams were fined over $1 million in punishments. What's the NFL's message here?
Wear your mask, right? Wow. I mean, here's what I'll give them credit for. They warned everybody week one and said, hey, guys, and honestly, Mike, this is, and I get it, this is about setting a tone nationally. Hey, we're playing, we're thankful for the privilege of playing, and we're going to do things the right way. And I know they're testing and all that stuff, but this is nothing more than the look.
Yeah, this is optics.
There's no question. Yeah. It's complete 100% optics.
Yeah.
But I agree with the optics. Hey, man, everybody has to make sacrifices for sports to go on, for entertainment to go on, for all these things to go on. It's not that much of a, it is not that much of a burden, man. I'm on a plane every week now. I'm masked up the whole way. I'm taking care of everything I need to take care of. I'm doing things because not only to keep me healthy, because I don't want to get sick, but I want to keep you healthy.
And you know what? It really isn't that hard. I travel too.
It's not that hard.
It was really quite easy. By the way, little
it's probably, you know what though? Now that I think about it, it could be the reason that Vic's mask wasn't on. It could be Drew Lock's fault. I mean, I'll look into that. It could be
Drew
Lock's
fault.
He could have stepped up and put the mask on him.
Or he could have put the mask on Vic. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
By the way, Tuesday is traditionally the day where NFL teams work guys out.
Right.
Little birdie telling me that the Broncos are going to be working out Blake Bortles today.
That actually is intriguing to me.
Quarterback Blake Bortles.
He
is tall. The third pick in the draft.
That's actually intriguing to me. I like Blake. Blake Bortles has been, you know, there's two types of athletes, those who are humble, those who are about to be. He's been humble.
Oh, he's been humbled, all right.
But I'm telling you, I will tell you, he'd be a great fit. He's a good guy. That would be a good mentor situation. I like that move.
All right, we'll talk more about it with Mike Kliss coming up in about 10 minutes. Next on The Morning Brew.
You're playing against LeBron, who's, I think, on a mission and leading this team in a very positive way. Game 3, I think, is going to be harder than any game that they've played, even though they had 6 elimination games.
Okay, there's George Karl. He was on yesterday with Sandy in the Big O. And that's what he believes the Nuggets are facing in Game 3. Do you agree that this will be the hardest game to win
for the Nuggets?
For the Nuggets,
yeah. This is going to be difficult. Simply, I think there's two things. You can't get those load management days if you're the Lakers. Like for your guy, like you need to take care of business so you get a little time off. And I just feel like, I do feel like, George, they are on a mission. They can feel it. Like, they can sense how close they are to an NBA championship, and they have put, I mean, they put this team together with the sole purpose of winning an NBA championship. They're that close. I think they put the, I think they put their foot on the gas pedal.
Well, I don't think the Lakers let down, if that's what you're hoping for as a Nugget fan. The Lakers in their first two series lost the first game of their series and then came back to win the next four in each series. This is not a team that, is gonna cut corners, but, where I disagree with it, I think the Nuggets bounce back. I don't think the Nuggets are demoralized or down or moping after they got beat at the buzzer. This is a team that has shown fight and grit and resilience throughout these playoffs. Why are they going to stop now? So I think it's going to be a terrific game tonight. I think both teams are going to go at it hard.
Yeah, I do. What do you think? Are you?
I think the Nuggets win tonight. Well, they better win tonight or they will get swept. Because if they're down 3-0, it's one thing to come back from 3-1.
Hello, Jinx.
It's another to come back 3-0. Nobody's ever done it in the NBA down 3-0.
Nobody'd ever come back 3-1.
Dozen teams.
No, in back-to-back series.
Oh, back-to-back, yeah, but you're
they don't start playing until they're down.
You're really pushing it if you're down 3-0. Next on the Morning Brew.
Now Gerard with a shot that did not get through, and now they score! Kale McCarr, number 8.
NBC Sports Network there with the highlight. Congratulations to Kale McCarr, who won the Calder Trophy as the Rookie of the Year, although it seems like he's been in the league now 5 years. That guy is just, his arrival.
Right.
He showed
right up out of college the playoffs last year. Scored a goal in his first game, right?
He was an adult. He was a man right from the start. So the fact that he was still playing this year, technically as a rookie, yes, he met the requirements, but he already seems like a seasoned vet. But he wins the Rookie of the Year. What was stunning was Nathan MacKinnon was named second team All NHL and did not win the Hart Trophy as the MVP. In fact, a couple of knuckleheads who really should have their voting privileges revoked didn't even have Nathan MacKinnon on their MVP ballot.
Yeah.
No votes. A couple guys left him off entirely.
You know what bothers me? That's what bothers me about voters and voting. Like, it's a privilege. That's not appropriate, man. It's just a disgusting omission. Because there's no question he's one of the top, he was one of the top three players in hockey. That is, you're right. Automatic, you should get your, well, I don't know what your agenda is, but guess what? You don't get to do it on this panel anymore of voters.
Two people left him off.
Wow. Oh, we forgot. Well, then, you know what? Then we forgot to give you your vote.
170 ballots, he was left off two of them.
I'd like to hear the reason.
Yes, I would too. Okay. One other mention, the Rockies got a win last night in San Francisco.
Too much, too little, too late.
Herman Marquez pitched well. We'll talk to Patrick Saunders, by the way, about an hour from now. Some interesting comments from Nolan Arenado that we'll get from Patrick, his thoughts on, as Arenado definitely leaving the door open to a possible departure from Colorado this offseason. All right, that'll all be coming up a little bit later on. But up next, Mike Kliss will join us to go over all things Broncos, and including maybe the possibility of a new quarterback joining the team. That's next. All right, got a lot of ground to cover with our 9 News Bronco Insider, Mike Kliss. He is presented by Bet Rivers Sportsbook, McGill's Hotel and Casino. Good morning, Michael.
What's going on, guys?
Well, you know, you tell us, Michael. Obviously, we've got injuries galore. Let's start with Courtland Sutton. Courtland Sutton, the ACL. We've got. Do we get the other guys? I mean, was it Draymond Jones had a MRI? You had a couple other. You had DeMarcus Walker, didn't he? So, kind of fill us in on the mass unit that is the Denver Broncos.
Well, it's long and it's not good. Sutton is done for the year. Everyone knows that by now, the ACL and other damage. I guess he did it pretty good
while making the tackle on Joe Hayden on that interception return. Drew Locke is probably going to be out a month. I'm thinking kind of tentatively of heard the Kansas City Chiefs game, which is game seven, right? They play the Chiefs right before the bye. That might be targeted as his return. He's got a rotator cuff strain in the back of his shoulder. Draymond Jones probably going to miss 6 weeks with a PCL strain. DeMarcus Walker a couple weeks or so with a calf strain. And then Devontae Harris, a hamstring, he's going to miss a week or two. So the first day, there was a 12-day period. It's hard to believe it was 2 weeks ago today, guys. It feels like 2 months ago. But 2 weeks ago today, Von Miller went down with the ankle. And it's been an incredible run. Mark, you've been around this team. There's been runs where they've had more injuries, maybe, but never to such key standout guys in this type of period. I've never seen it in my time covering the team anyway.
Hey, Mike, I got a heads up that the Broncos are going to be working out Blake Bortles today. Have you heard anything about that?
I have. I heard he's I don't know about working him out because he's got to go through the COVID stuff. But I have, I heard that last night. So, was kind of sitting on that and,
way to go, Mike. Sorry.
Interesting that you kind of got the tip there, Mike.
So what is the idea? I mean, are they planning on signing him? Because you're right. It used to be, Tuesdays were the day that you'd bring in a bunch of guys, they'd work them out, and then if they liked them, they'd sign them, otherwise they'd move on. But because it involves a lot more with testing, and they have to pass a couple tests, is a move like this being done with the idea that they want to sign them?
I would think so. You know, they need a guy like him. He would be a backup from what I would understand. And, but I'm not sure he could get in. You know, Fangio said yesterday that he can't participate in any meetings or anything till Friday or Saturday. So that would make it almost impossible for him to be ready for Tampa Bay this weekend. But then he could be ready the following, you know, Thursday for the New York Jets. So We'll have to see about that. How'd you get the tip?
He can't reveal it.
I can't reveal my sources.
He's not
going to
reveal his sources.
Come on, man.
Come on.
One.
Yeah. You've been in this game too long to ask that question. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I thought maybe, I thought maybe since, no, never mind. I'm not going to say what I was going to say.
Hey, the fine to Vic Fangio and several other coaches, you know, they take the test just like everybody else. The players aren't wearing masks. This is pretty much just an optic deal of the NFL, right? They'd say, hey, we want to show that we're kind of mining protocol or behaving when it comes to mask wearing and all that stuff. Isn't that really what it is? It's an optics thing?
I mean, I think that's at least 50% of it for sure. And, you know, let's give the NFL maybe a little credit. They care about the safety of their players, you know, and keeping them clean through the season. There's a lot of money at stake also, you know, that they got to keep, you know, Patrick Mahomes can't be getting COVID from Andy Reid, and he's gone with the shield and everything. But I think they are serious about the health and safety of their players, 50%. And the other is the optics. You know, it's clear that these coaches find the masks cumbersome when it comes to communicating, you know, with the plays. Fangio, I saw him wearing the mask properly when the team was on offense, at least in the second half. I know some people say he never wore the mask. I saw him wear, you know, on the TV shot there. He was wearing it on a couple shots when the team was on offense. He definitely was not wearing it when he was calling plays on defense. Belichick, you know, had this this ridiculous upside down
cocktail napkin size
mask. Look like a beak.
Yeah, yeah. So, and I guess he might get fined too. But what's interesting to me, guys, and this is where the optics come in, the Broncos basically cheated in that London game with the video gate, and they got fined $50,000. And the masks, they get fined $250,000, five times more for violating the mask edict than competitively cheating. So I understand where the NFL is going. I think the fines are a little stiff, but my idea was that the NFL, if they're really serious about this, they better get some uniform masks for all these coaches to wear. It can't be, you know, these small things that Gruden and Belichick are wearing, and then Gators for others. They got to everybody else's uniform. Let's get something on the mask.
Yeah, slap a sponsor on it, and away we go.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, the NBA, it's funny, the NBA, which is the model of this COVID and with the bubble and everything, their coaches don't wear masks. And they're right. I mean, there's no separation there. You know, they're on the court. They're with the players. So, you know, I guess we could argue the masks, and no doubt America has argued the value of the masks. But there seems to be some inconsistencies going on.
Yeah, it certainly does. Hey, Mike, we appreciate you. And you need any breaking news, just call up Evans. I mean, he's got it all.
Yeah. I got it. Boy, he just blurts it all out there. Let me work the story a little bit there, Mike.
I didn't know you had it. You know, maybe we need to talk more. All right.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, Mike.
See ya.
Mike Kliss.
Well, you just ruined his day. Way to go,
Bye.
Sausage.
Hey, listen. And I'll give a heads up and...
So, I mean a sausage McMuffin and,
the sausage.
And Joey Two Bags comes in and he says, hey, I saw bottles in the airport. So I wrapped the grease from my cheek.
Well, let's get into that. The idea that Blake Bortles could be joining the Broncos as a backup. Should he be the backup? We'll talk about that next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.